This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The billions and billions of dollars that we will collect by taxing, fining, and suing excessively large private university endowments, and we will then use that money to endow a new institution called the American Academy. Its mission will be to make a truly world-class education available to every American, free of charge, and do it without adding a single dime to the federal debt. This institution will gather an entire universe of the highest quality educational content covering the full spectrum of human knowledge and skills and make that material available to every American citizen online for free.
Oh my gosh, Donald Trump is just on fire. These are wild ideas, and yet they're really, really good ideas. Kind of wonder if that was in Project 2025. The left can't tell us because they didn't read it. Isn't it weird how Project 2025 was the boogeyman in the closet? I actually kind of think that it might turn out that the thoughts and policy suggestions of Project 2025 might end up being tame compared to what Donald Trump might do on his own.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're super scared of Project 2025. And they've been making that since, what, in the 80s, wasn't it?
There's always, the left does it too. You come up with a day one
A plan.
Concept.
All it is a plan. And it's like, here are some best practices that we would suggest. And they turned this thing into the boogeyman. But now they're like, uh-oh, Kash Patel. Uh-oh, Pete Hegseth. Uh-oh, Tulsi Gabbard. Uh-oh. So it's, like you were saying, a lot worse than what they expected it to be.
Yeah. And what happens next? I have no idea, because ideas like this from Donald Trump and whoever is helping him come up with this, they're going to go after these universities. That, I mean, good grief. You want to talk about a money laundering system? Okay, here's the status of your tax dollars. They take your tax dollars from a state, from a federal level. Money comes out of your paycheck. So you're sitting at work right now with the Annie Fry Show quietly in your earbud or whatever it might be, or you're driving to and from clients. You're sitting at home and you're working at home, or maybe you're putting Christmas decorations up, whatever it might be. If you've got a paycheck coming in, you've got tax dollars going out. Those tax dollars go to fund the university, the public education, the public university system. And then these universities indoctrinate your kids. How many of you, I'd be very curious to find out, how many of you had your children come back from Thanksgiving break this past week and you felt like they made a shift politically? I'd be kind of curious to know. This would be maybe an an outlier of that experience because Donald Trump just won re-election a couple weeks ago. It makes me feel like culture is maybe shifting quite a bit, but I think the last place to absorb that cultural shift and the number one place that you would see a complete and total doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on no, we're not doing that here, it would be in the university system. Why is it? Do you understand the scam that higher education is in America right now? The government scam that it is, where you can get a fully federally subsidized student loan that you can sign off on when you're an idiot 17-year-old or whatever 18-year-old, and you're just ignorant because you haven't experienced life yet. I was an RA at SIU for a year. And then I realized I don't want to live where I work and work where I live. Mm. It was a good experience. I had great residents. I enjoyed everything about it, except for I was just basically 24/7 on the job, which is part of the gig. When the student loan checks came in, the stuff that I saw my residents and people in that dormitory walking in with, it was Christmas. Every time those checks would come in, you'd see new Xboxes walking in the dorm, clothes that people would be planning spring break trips. That money, you can apply for a lot more money than you need to pay tuition and books and living expenses. You can get money to live on, and that money was going to buy frivolous things. But you can sign that because, I mean, good grief, honestly, you don't really know. You've not done something like that at that point, which makes me want to go into high school education and reconfigure a lot of the things that we force are like, okay, listen, is there a reason why my child needs to learn how to do proofs in geometry? You're married to a math teacher. Maybe, Brad, that you could. I don't think you can convince me that my kid needs.
My wife would say, what are you planning on learning? Or what are you planning on? What field are you planning to go in?
Yes.
And then whenever they answer, she'll either be like, well, yeah, you'll need it for X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
Or no.
But why is that a sophomore? I mean, my son takes advanced math. He's a smart kid. But here's the thing. I took smart math when I was in school. And I'm very good at math. Proofs, they might as well have been in French. I did not know the beginning, the middle, or the end of what we were doing.
Man, my geometry teacher, whenever I took geometry, my geometry teacher told me that geometry is actually not a math class. It's a logic class, and it should be taught with logic because it teaches critical thinking
skills. So teach it at the end of your education in high school if you want to teach critical thinking in that way.
Absolutely.
Don't put it when the kids are like, I just want to know how to make it stop. Nobody likes proofs. Nobody does. And if you're going to be, I could see teaching proofs in like a communications class.
Yes.
Like, how do you prove something? You got to have some logical steps. It could be in a political communications class,
probably,
for heaven's sake.
There.
But our education system, like, I'm thinking, okay, Kurt, get off the chat. I love proofs. What are you, Kurt, tell me right now, what are you doing with them? What are you doing, Kurt, with your proofs that you like? How have you applied this to your life? Do you have like a proofs book like people have Sudoku? You've got proofs. Is it entertainment for you? Because it was the death of me in 1999, and now they've reentered the house, and my son's like, I don't get this. I'm like, well, I don't either, and I don't think you need to learn it, which is really bad parenting. Let's get my husband and just be like, you do it. I'm not doing it. Go ask your teacher. I'm sorry. I have strong feelings about it, clearly. Kurt, I'm waiting to see. Joe says, someone come get Kurt. He's out of line. He said it got him. He got one promotion out of it. Well, I'm happy for you, Kurt. You're the one. Good for you, Kurt. Thanks for being here. I just think when you look at what we educate our kids, we've been doing the same thing for so long. You just, when you're a freshman, you take civics. Maybe civics should be a little bit closer related to when you start voting. I don't know. Maybe you need to have a how to be a good citizen class when you're a junior or a senior, when people are turning 17 and 18 and you're about to put these freedoms that you do have and may want to protect and may have to give your life. Would it make a difference when you are 17, turning 18, to understand a little bit more about the draft?
Yeah, I would think so.
To pay a little bit more attention to, hey, why does it matter that Joe Biden's like, take those U.S. missiles and shoot them at Russia? Would you care a little bit more at 18 about that than you would at 14 or 15 when you're like, how do I fill out this quiz? Hey, Bob, you got the answers to the quiz?
Yeah, no kidding.
When you're like, what's the draft? They want, which candidate wants to put women on the front lines and which candidate is saying women shouldn't be in combat? I think that makes a difference to me as a 17-year-old, 18-year-old female.
I think so, too. I think I'm going to make a lot of English majors mad, but when you get into to math, and this is just from my experience as a high school substitute teacher, and I've taught in high school as well as a regular teacher, but when you get into those English classes that are like lit, but what they're teaching you isn't...
When you say lit, do you mean like super literature. Wild or literature?
Literature.
Okay. I didn't know if we were talking jargon or not.
They're not teaching the classics. They're these obscure, weird books that the literature teacher really likes.
Beowulf?
No, that's one of the classics, I would think.
I was in a bookstore Christmas shopping, and I saw it, and I shuddered. At Beowulf.
Oh, man.
My oldest daughter's with me. I'm like, look at these words. What are they?
What are they?
This is an English class. This is an English. Yeah. Old English, maybe.
Yeah. But my point is you waste a lot of time on these obscure, weird books about obscure, weird topics. And they're like, tell me what the seagull represents. And it's like, that's a waste of time. Let's do some more nuts and bolts stuff. And like you were saying, maybe get more into civics. Let's have another civics class where we talk about the draft, what the draft means for you, how to be a good citizen, those sorts of things.
You've got X amount of time with a kid in high school. What are we going to leave on the cutting table, and what is going to make it through? We used to say, when we were growing up, Brad, it used to be like, did you take a class that told you how to balance a checkbook? Nobody's balancing a checkbook, except for maybe Frank or Kurt. Kurt balances checkbooks.
I love balancing checkbooks.
That's not true. There are people who balance checkbooks, but I'm telling you right now, I need to know if Ethan, tell us in the chat, if you have a checkbook, if you know where your checkbook is and the last time you wrote a check. People don't do that as much anymore. There are some who do, and this is where if Wiggins were here, he would advocate wholeheartedly about the importance of writing checks, and we argue every time about it. But with online banking, with mobile banking, you have instant access. You can check and balance things in that way. But are you learning that in school? Are you understanding, like, when you get a paycheck, do you know how to look at the pay stub and understand, why are you paying Social Security? Why are you paying? What is the Medicare line? What about health insurance? What happens if you don't have health insurance? Like, life skills. To me, it seems like, you know, when you're talking about analytical literature and all that stuff, I think there's value in that. I think we need to encourage our kids to think creatively and to be willing to look at how somebody intended their words to be read and what they implied and so on and so forth. But at the same time, I'm looking at what we're not teaching our kids. We're not teaching our kids to be good citizens, to be self-sufficient, to be independent. And I don't think that the education system, broadly speaking, has changed in a really, really long time. That's we're talking like high school stuff here. Then you go into college. Colleges, universities should be employee factories and employer factories. They should be cranking out people who are getting jobs and creating jobs. And kids come out of these university systems now, and what do? They become ideologues, and they have no life experience to apply to the very, very ridiculous opinions that they've been force-fed by people who are relying on the system and the bureaucracy to stay exactly the way it is so that they can stay in their cushy positions in the university system. Going back to my initial point, when it comes to the financial structure of education in our country, to what Donald Trump was saying there at the beginning, we tell 17 and 18-year-olds, yeah, we'll give you however much money you need. Just sign here. You can file for bankruptcy, but for some reason, the education system is insulated from your inability to manage your funds, which is the greatest irony of them all, because your student loans don't go away when you file bankruptcy. It then becomes a tool for people to campaign on to say, we'll get rid of your student loans for you. You just got to give us your vote. You've got to support us, and we will financially support you. Yeah, you took this loan out from the American people. That hardworking person that we say it should be coming out of university systems. Instead of creating employers and employees, we're creating civic leeches. And the government gets to fully subsidize the maker of those civic leeches, the people who go through these university systems to become lobbyists or to become political activists, instead of accountants and nurses and teachers and lawyers and all of the things that you can come out of school, broadcasters, you can become something, you can make what you want to of yourself, and then sustain yourself. And if your dream doesn't sustain your lifestyle, you've got to modify the dream. But not when the whole system is subsidized. If you take away the cycle of money that comes out of the American taxpayer into the government and is guaranteed to the university system, then there is never, ever, ever incentive for these university systems to lower the price to get an education, because the money is always there. It's the same thing with healthcare. It's the same thing that Obamacare did with healthcare. What Obamacare did is it forced you to have healthcare. It didn't help the person who was getting the healthcare. It guaranteed every healthcare company that they would have customers, mandatory customers. Why would the healthcare companies work for your best interest when the customer is guaranteed? Why would the university, the higher education system, ever work for the best of the student if the funding for that system is guaranteed? It's the anti-capitalistic way of going about it. And what Donald Trump is doing is he's pulling out the Jenga piece that makes the whole thing come crumbling down. You want to get an folks, you can get, don't tell my kids this yet because I need to have a bigger conversation with them. You can get an education to do things on YouTube. You can learn how to do things on YouTube right now. There should be benefits that a good college, a university can give to you that make you broader, more well-rounded in the way that you can contribute to an employer in the future. But if you're sending your kid to a political activist factory, find a different place to write that check or say, you can go there, but not on my dime. Donald Trump is coming back against this. If Donald Trump is capable of taking the Democrats down on November 5th like he did, and we're watching the leftist media fall apart, tear apart at the seams, if he can successfully reconfigure the way higher education is disseminated in this country, that's the trifecta. That's hope for the future. We need higher education. We need reformed higher education. We need smarter higher education, and it needs to be for the students. It needs to be for the people who want to be good, civic, self-sufficient American taxpayers. And I think Donald Trump's onto something here. When we come back, Joe Concha is going to weigh in on the ramifications of a Hunter Biden pardon. Joe Biden said, yeah, we'll give him 10 years, not in sentencing, in freedom from any crime that he could have committed from January 2014 all the way till December 1st, yesterday of this year. What does Joe Concha have to say about it? Well, we'll find out when we come back. Don't go away. You know, the Cash Patel nomination for FBI director was the one that, in my opinion, was the most talked about and anticipated, in part just because of how it would incense the people on the other side of the aisle. We heard from Hans von Spakovsky at 12:25, and he was telling us about his thoughts as somebody who served as a DOJ lawyer. He understands the way things work over there, and he gave his opinions and thoughts on what it might mean for Cash Patel to become the FBI director. And Hans told us why he thought it was a great pick to pick someone who hasn't been a part of the FBI agency directly, even with Cash Patel's experience in the Justice Department. You can go back on the podcast and listen to that. We had him on it about 12:25, and we talked about Cash Patel along with the Hunter Biden pardon. When it comes to Cash Patel and how he and his appointment is affecting those people who are political detractors of Donald Trump, Andy McCabe is a very interesting way to look at this. How does Andy McCabe, who we saw he was the deputy director of the FBI, and oh gosh, insufferable. He leaves the FBI, and within like 10 minutes, he's over as a CNN contributor. And he gave it all out there for you on how he feels about the Cash Patel appointment.
Andrew, I just want to start first with you and just get your reaction to this news tonight. Yeah, well, it's a terrible development for the men and women of the FBI and also for the nation that depends on a highly functioning, professional, independent Federal Bureau of Investigation. The fact that Kash Patel is profoundly unqualified for this job is not even like a matter for debate. So I think what we should really be thinking about right now is, what does this signal in terms of Donald Trump's intent for the FBI? The installation, or the nomination, I guess we should say at this point, of Kash Patel as FBI director can only possibly be a plan to disrupt, to dismantle, to distract the FBI, and to possibly use it as a tool for the president's political agenda.
So Andy McCabe, former deputy FBI director on CNN, saying that Kash Patel's appointment is only there to dismantle and to disrupt the way the FBI is functioning. Brad, he's making the case for Kash Patel's appointment.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I want from Kash Patel. That's what I want from whoever Trump appoints to the FBI. I want him to go in there and change business as usual, because business as usual has been good for the D.C. elites, but not good for the American people. And that's who the FBI ultimately is supposed to serve, is the American people.
Completely. And the nervous nature with which, you know, Andy McCabe is saying that it's not even up for discussion. I'm sir, by virtue of you being on CNN to have the discussion, it is up for discussion as to whether or not Kash Patel is qualified for that position. He goes on to CNN in his little mini meltdown.
And, you know, as an organization, we know what that looks like. This country has been there before, right? The pre-Watergate FBI, the J. Edgar Hoover FBI, struck fear in the hearts of Americans across the spectrum of politicians, people in entertainment, people in the civil rights community, because the director operated at the direction of presidents to collect political intelligence and to utilize the legal authorities, the investigative authorities of the FBI, to terrorize and intimidate Americans. So the question is that where we're going back to with this nomination? I would argue that Kash Patel would be the perfect person for Donald Trump to nominate, if that's in fact his intent.
I don't think that you need to speculate on what
Odyssey celebrates the holidays, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
If you've ever wondered about the dark psychology behind history's most notorious murderers, Mind of a Serial Killer is the podcast for you. Find Mind of a Serial Killer on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Donald Trump's intent would be when it comes to our justice system. And it is a great irony of ironies to be talking about a weaponized justice system that Andy McCabe here is talking about how dangerous it would be when we are less than 24 hours away from Joe Biden basically saying that Hunter Biden was targeted and therefore earns the full pardon of a 10-year blanket. Anything that he did in that amount of time, whoop, gone. An amazing amount of grace that was extended to Hunter Biden on behalf of the powers of the presidency that that Joe Biden currently enjoys. On FoxNews.com, Stephanie Price authors an article about the steps that Kash Patel should take to restore trust. She's a former special agent. She suggests several concrete steps that she thinks is going to help it regain the trust of all Americans. With that statement in and of itself, Brad, you've got Republicans and Democrats alike who are today showing great distrust in the justice system.
Yes.
They're saying, well, you can't argue with that. If Hunter Biden is being pardoned today because he was targeted.
Right.
And then, of course, we know what we think about Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people, nobody trusted. And it's not that Donald Trump came in here and said all these bad things about the Justice Department. It's not any of that. It's that the Justice Department, that the federal government on its own accord, out of its own accord, got in there and did things that have caused the people to distrust them. The people looked at the Donald Trump prosecutions and they said, this doesn't look like it's on the up and up. It just doesn't. And then you had the people that like Alvin Bragg and Letitia James, they were running on getting Donald Trump. And eventually people are like, that doesn't look like it's on the up and up. And then you have, on the flip side of that, Joe Biden with documents in his garage by his Corvette does an interview with the FBI, right? Or yeah. No, he was a special counsel, wasn't he?
He had a special counsel.
Yeah, the special counsel does the interview. And I'm like, yeah, he probably did something wrong.
Yeah, the one that resulted in him being a well-meaning old man.
Well-meaning elderly old man with a poor memory.
With a poor memory.
It just, like, they look at that and they say, this is a double standard. They look at Daniel Penny up in New York, which they're in, what, closing arguments today.
Yeah.
This man is being prosecuted for defending people on the subway, and they're going after him. And then they're like, Hunter Biden, we're just going to pardon him. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a great offense to the American people. Stephanie writes in this that she says over the last several years, the FBI became politically and socially weaponized. That must end. Those responsible for the Bureau's destruction must be held accountable with tangible consequences. President-elect Donald Trump on Saturday announced he intends to nominate Kash Patel to replace FBI Director Christopher Wray, who Trump nominated in 2017 during his first term. Isn't that funny? Christopher Wray is a Donald Trump appointee. Trump said, I'm proud to announce that Kash Patel will serve as the next director of the FBI. Kash is a brilliant lawyer, investigator, and America First fighter who has spent his career exposing corruption, defending justice, and protecting the American people. So what can be done in order to restore this type of trust that the American people want to have? I mean, there is a lot that is being levied against our government. I mean, especially with the RFK Jr. annexation of Donald Trump and this Republican Party, it's important to think about how far back this distrust in our investigative, our spy agencies, all of these types of bureaucratic goings on that we have known for decades in this country are suspect. You just have questions. Now, you're not going to know everything the CIA does. I think a lot of people want to know about what happened to JFK. People want to know more recently, they want to know about the Jeffrey Epstein story. They want to be made aware of this. And when you look at these different criminal cases, even more recently, that aren't directly related to like politicians who are in trouble, there are a lot of things that get handled a certain type of way. And it seems like it always breaks the way of the left. The investigative, the justice system is always, yeah, we're just going to let that sleeping dog lie. We're going to take care of it. And then at the end, they're like, trust us. And it's like, I just don't think we do anymore. Some of the suggestions that were made by this former special agent says the Office of Diversity and Inclusion must be reassessed, as anything other than law enforcement responsibilities is a dangerous distraction. That's the first thing she says. The fact that we have a military, that the majority of what we hear, at least on the home front about the military, is all of these different DEI initiatives that are being put in place. Ugh. Can we focus on killing bad guys and keeping America safe? Can we just focus on that? And the DEI community is like, they're bad people, not necessarily guys. All right, whatever. I call them all bad guys. It's a blanket statement. FBI headquarters must be trimmed down substantially, and agents need to be sent back to the field offices to fight crime. The FBI also needs to raise their hiring standards and hire only the best and brightest based on only meritocracy. Wouldn't it be nice to get back to that? Wouldn't it be nice to be like, we're the best of the best? We're not the best of the women who are available. We're not the best of the insert, religious affiliation here. We're not the best of the insert sexual inclination here. No, we're just the best. And if you end up having, you know, a bunch of asexual female Mormons or whatever it might be that are all that's and they're the best of the best, then that's just the way the cookie crumbles. But also, if you have a bunch of white men, if you have a bunch of black women, whatever it is, who are the best for the job? Race doesn't matter. Sex doesn't matter. Religion doesn't matter. Sexual preference doesn't matter. Who's the best? You get the job. That's what America used to be about, didn't it? And it's really interesting to think back to, Brad, I think, you know, we've talked about this before, but the rise of political correctness really happened kind of in our youth.
Yeah.
The '90s. You know,
yeah.
You think about different words that we culturally were exposed to quite a lot. The R word. I don't like to say it. I'm not going to say it here. But, you know, if you were to call something stupid, you'd call something the R word. In our lifetime, that became something that was used all of the time to something that you just don't say.
Yeah.
It's now back.
It's back. And it's back bigger than it ever was.
It's back. It's like the middle finger to the PC culture.
Yes,
and I feel like our generation is using that word to get back at the PC culture because it was the biggest, broadest thing that everybody said that all of a sudden you were never allowed to say.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, it's the biggest middle finger. And the reason it's a middle finger is because people are tired of people policing what you say. It was never meant as anything other than like, that's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was never meant as a slight to people with mental handicaps or anything like that. It was just a phrase people used to say that's dumb.
Yeah.
And these woke scolds came in there and be like, oh, you can't use that. You're going to hurt people's feelings. And they changed what you actually call somebody with these mental disabilities. They changed it from retarded to...
Yeah, that's a medical...
Yeah, it's a medical
diagnosis.
Term. It's also a scientific term.
And a music term.
And they changed it to, well, it's special needs. Well, people being people used it as an insult,
mm-hmm.
whatever the new word is. So it doesn't matter how many times they change language, and people are just done with it. Let it go. Stop being offended on behalf of other people.
I have people in my life who don't like that word because of personal relative situations that they have in their life. That's why I don't use the word.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with offending people who I don't know, who don't have the personal experience, you know, and it's my choice. And I have a very specific reason to not use it. I'm also not going to police everybody else out there because it's not my job. Listen, if somebody says a word that you don't like, and there are a lot of words that people can say that are incredibly offensive that could offend you even though you're not the person who is being maybe slandered or whatever when the word is being used, you have the right to be offended and they have the right to offend.
Mm-hmm.
That is where the First Amendment thrives, is in the uncomfortable margins, not in everybody saying everything that everybody agrees on. And we have to be able to say things that offend people and take the blowback of being willing to say, no, I'm going to use this word. And when I use this word, I know what's coming at me. And I have still chosen with that knowledge to use the word to make a statement. You are not free from being judged for the language you use, but it's also not a crime.
Right. And if freedom of speech doesn't cover the speech you don't like, then freedom of speech is not necessary. Nobody needs freedom of speech to say the thing that most people or everybody will agree with. It's the unpopular things to say that people need freedom of speech. And sometimes in saying the unpopular things, you uncover something that needs to be uncovered and you start a discussion that needs to be had.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. I want to talk about this poll question when we come back. Brad and I will discuss this, and we'll read your comments as well. Will Joe Biden finish his term? There are 49 days left in it. Is he going to finish it? Let us know on the Annie Fry YouTube live broadcast right now. In the live chat portion, you find us on YouTube. Just type in Annie Fry Live, F-R-E-Y, and then you'll see when it pops up that there's a live chat. We would love for you to come join us and join that conversation. But you can just vote right there in the poll and tell us, yes, he's going to finish his term, or no, I don't think he is. We'll be right back. So, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. The news did not stop, though, while I was at least out for a week with the Hunter Biden pardon. Welcome back to the show. Want to know what you thought about the whole thing. You surprised?
Oh, well, first of all, happy Thanksgiving. It was a great Thanksgiving. I'm in New Jersey, so like half my relatives are liberal. And when we did the prayer around the table, where everybody says something they're thankful for, I said, you know, I'm just very thankful that Donald Trump survived those two assassination attempts so he could be our next president.
And that go over okay?
And then a fork was thrown on my forehead, which I was able to duck, thankfully. So there you go.
Did you stand up and say fight after the fork came?
I shut up! That would have been good! But I wasn't hit, so no. It didn't have to quite the same thing.
True.
What do I think about it? I think that we now know, and you know my first book, right? Come on, man, the truth about Joe Biden's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad presidency. In researching that book, going all the way back to his time in law school, the conclusion I came out of that book with is that Joe Biden is a pathological liar. Like, even, like, more than your average politician, like, by far. And this whole thing, like, well, he's just a nice man just looking out for his son. No, that's not either. He's not a good person. So I think that this just exposes the hypocrisy of Democrats. I think if I got to read or hear one more time the no one is above the law line we're fed for the last, you know, 4 years during all this lawfare, nope, can't play that card anymore. So this plays right into Trump's hands. So when he starts to pardon people from January 6th, for example, that are serving like these incredibly long jail sentences, even if they didn't, I'd say if you hit an officer, I still say you belong in jail. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But if you just walked into the building that day, now you're going to be in jail for the next couple of years. No, those people should not be in jail for that. So no one's going to be able to argue against Trump doing that because now they lost their moral high ground if they ever had it.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. We're speaking with Joe Concha. His current book, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote, it's called Our Broken Elections. You can check that out. Great Christmas gift. I assume that many people are going to be sticking that under the Christmas tree this holiday season.
Is that my book?
Yes, absolutely. No. I read the wrong one. That's Hans von Spakovsky's. That's right. Progressively Worse, Why Today's Democrats Ain't Your Daddy's Donkey. I was going to say, the juxtaposition of where the Democratic Party is today, Progressively Worse, that is Joe Concha's book. When you think about that, what all the thought and effort you put into Progressively Worse, and you compare that with Joe Biden, and you look at here on December 2nd, the way that the Democrat Party is just in ruins. And some of them are not even willing to point at Kamala Harris and say she was a problem. Is the problem bigger than Kamala Harris? What do you make of where they are today?
The brand is broken, right? I mean, it didn't matter who the Democrats ran. They were going to lose this election because all they did was replace one old beaten up 71 Dodge Dart and just put a new coat of paint on it and pretended that it still wasn't a Dodge Dart. In other words, they have a spending problem in a big way that led to all the inflation that we just saw. They have a crime problem with all these DAs just allowing people who get arrested to go right back out into the street. That's driving people out of places like San Francisco and Chicago and New York to places like Tennessee and Texas and Florida. And then obviously the border, when you allow 12 to 15 million people into this country and hundreds of those people are on the terror watch list. I mean, listen to this stat. Under Donald Trump in his 4 years, 14 people on the terror watch list were apprehended at the border. Mm. Joe Biden, more than 400. Never good at math, but that's like what, 40 times higher? I mean, it's insane. And when you see what happened on October 7th, you know, that's something that's a real concern. And then they see these wars. Like, what are we're going to give what? Ukraine another $800 million for weapons? That war's not going anywhere, all right? Russia's not going to be kicked out of Ukraine, and Ukraine isn't going to kick Russia out, and Russia's not going to be able to get to Kyiv and take over the country. So why do we keep funding this war? We see all these things, and Democrats are now the party of war, right? They're the party of woke, which is not where you want to be, and a party of the elites, coastal elites. You look at that Trump map, and it's all red in the country except for these little blue dots. You know, like there's Los Angeles, there's San Francisco, and that's it. So, yeah, they're broken. I don't know what they do in 2028 because if Trump is successful, he gets prices down, whether it's gas, whether it's rent, whether it's groceries. He gets crime under control, at least as much as he can on a federal level, and secures the border. You tell me who they run who's going to beat J.D. Vance, who, you know, is a great candidate. We've seen him do interviews anytime, a great debater. They're in real trouble. This could be a generational win.
I know, and so transformative. I've said this before, but for me, I'm 40 years old, so I was a Reagan baby. I would say many of the people who are my age, we were Reagan babies, but we're now Trump Republicans. They're different things, and the ability to watch government grow and grow and grow in our lifetimes, we came of age during September 11th, this is going to be a very, very stark fork in the road for people who are my age, who are looking a little bit forward to, you know, retirement. We want to be able to live off of what we've saved. We want it to grow. Social Security, we're paying into it. We'd like to draw from it, I guess, someday. Donald Trump has a huge opportunity, but also responsibility to deliver on those things that he promised.
Absolutely. And then that starts with cutting spending, right? And then you see, okay, well, how's he going to do that? Oh, he's going to take Elon Musk, who never voted Republican before, and Vivek Ramaswamy, you know, a billionaire businessman like himself, and they're going to go in, and Ramaswamy is saying, like, he wants to cut 75% of the federal government. And we know what Musk did with Twitter. He cut 80% of the staff, and it's never run better, and it's never had higher traffic. So I believe Trump, based on his actions and who he's appointing to places like Doge, that he just created for government accountability, I think that's awesome. So, yeah, if you could finally keep that promise, again, I don't see what Democrats run on in 2028. Like, you want to try that abortion thing again and try the fear-mongering around that? Because that didn't work. And then it was Trump's the threat to democracy. That didn't work. So what's their platform and who is their coalition? Because when I was analyzing this election beforehand with you plenty of times and on Fox, I kept saying the same thing over and over again, but it bears repeating. If they don't have rank and file union, they don't have the kind of black support they need, Latino support they need, and young voters, they're screwed. I don't know where it comes from then at that point. Who votes for a Democrat when you lost those four parts to the stool, right? Like, yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Joe Concha with us right now, Fox News contributor, author of Progressively Worse, Why Today's Democrats Ain't Your Daddy's Donkeys. Brad, I'm
Annie.
Yeah, what?
I'm just finishing my next book.
What, you have another one coming out? What do you do you sleep?
What? No, not really. but this one wrote itself, trust me. I've been taking notes.
Can you tell us the name?
Since the beginning. The name is The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Donald Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign, Unburdened by What Has Been.
That's a story in and of itself. Just that this the title tells so much. Brad, I'm going to get an extra minute from you here if that's okay. But Joe, when you've assessed this arc, you know, you talked to us in your first book, or at least in the Joe Biden book, about, you know, who this man was that was destroying the country. And then you've seen how the Democrat Party has shifted so dramatically left. I mean, did those first two books, is that the reason why you get to write the third one? Is that all part of the natural arc of things?
See, you're never going to retire. You're just talking about retirement before. You're too good at this. That's a great question. And by the way, you don't retire in radio.
No,
you know, you just kind of expire.
No. Yeah, you were told, and I'm very, very well aware of that. That's for sure.
Yeah, this is true. Exactly. No, this is, they've driven themselves to this point by forgetting who they were, you know, the party for the working man and woman, right? And we talked about it. JFK was for tax cuts, and Jimmy Carter was pro-life. And Bill Clinton was for smaller government and balanced budgets, and Barack Obama was the deporter in chief. That was the label that he got from the left.
Yep.
They're not all those things anymore. So I don't know what they are and who's their future. Did I see a story this weekend that AOC 2028? Oh, please do that.
Yeah.
You'll lose 400 electoral votes. I'm not joking. Like, what's she going to do? How's she? You're going to go more to the left? That's your solution? Oh, please do that. For the love of God, I would pay to see that. Trust me.
Last question before we let you go, Joe. When Joe Biden pardons Hunter Biden, 10 years, blanket, get out of jail free card for anything that happened in those 10 years. Did he do that for Hunter Biden, or are there going to be more beneficiaries? And how is the Democrat Party going to feel about it?
Oh, I think there's a Jim Biden pardon that's coming next. I don't know what he did it for. One report that I saw was that Hunter Biden was threatening to write a book if he didn't get pardon, like exposing everything about Joe. So he's like, oh crap, I better do this. So who knows and who cares? We move on, and Trump just had the best month of his life. That I do know.
Amen to that. Joe Concha, thank you so much. Sorry I got your book wrong before, but I'll say it one more time. Progressively Worse, Why Today's Democrats Ain't Your Daddy's Donkeys. And I'm excited about the next one coming out. We'll make sure we start promoting that as soon as we can. Joe, thank you for the time today. It's good to have you.
Thanks, Eddie.
Bye bye. Take care. Bye bye. Always great to talk to Joe Concha here on the show. So much energy. And we had some phone problems with him in the first segment he was supposed to be in. So glad we could squeeze him in here now. I've heard that too, that Hunter Biden's like, I'm going to write a tell all book.
I'm about it. I want to know everything.
Is he still going to? I don't know. He says he's like.
He was making that documentary.
Wasn't he making the documentary when he showed up at the house?
Yeah, and he walked out. It was like part of it.
The finger to the, like, he had cameras all around him. Is Hunter the smartest or the dumbest person? Or simultaneously the same thing?
Why not
I don't both? Know. I don't know. Conniving? Yes. Great to talk to Joe Concha there on the Annie Fry Show. Go vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Will Joe Biden finish his term? Yes or no? He's got 49 days left. Is he going to make it? We'll see. More of the Annie Fry Show in the 2 o'clock hour. Don't go away.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.